We want to minister around this issue of suffering and the offense that can happen in our lives, around the Lord and His ways in our lives that can be tough. I'll get on track here, Dax, but we want to talk this morning about developing an apostolic doctrine of suffering. And those are the strategic words, developing an apostolic doctrine of suffering. And I've got some subtitles here. Suffering well unto the glory of God and enduring hardship without offense towards God is what we wanted to say there. We all live in this place where it's a war zone and there's give and there's take. And John the Baptist in the story in Matthew 11, he who had given himself completely to saying, Jesus is the one, there's the Lamb, that's Him, that's Him, that's Him. You go forward a year or 2 years, and we've got this encounter. It says, after Jesus had finished instructing His disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent His disciples to ask Him, are You the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? His very life was about, You're the one, You're the one, You're the one. And He sends a group to say, are You the one? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me, is what the NIV has, but the authorized or the more literal is, blessed is the man who is not offended by me. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, bless our time in the Word today. Let the Scriptures explode within our hearts and our lives and prepare us as a people to live this life in this age, the age before the great age of the new heaven and new earth. Lord, prepare us to be a people who suffer well unto the glory of God, who endure hardship without offense towards You, and really do have a good doctrine for suffering, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that everyone in this room has been touched by this issue of suffering. This passage is about John the Baptist, who's in jail. He had been proclaiming that Jesus was the one, preparing the way for the great King, the great Messiah. And though he knew so much, he was limited in his revelation. And thus, from my take on this scripture, he's in prison right now going, what's up? What's the deal? This is not panning out the way that I thought it would pan out. This is not exactly how I thought it would happen. And so John the Baptist is dealing with all kinds of emotions in prison, about to be beheaded is what's going to happen. He's struggling with, I gave my life to this, I've been preaching this, I believe this with all of my heart, and now here's where I am. I believe that, again, John the Baptist didn't have full revelation on what was going to happen in his whole life. So this, I think, surprised him. And I think he's in there and he's enduring and he's in prison. I think he's very willing to suffer for the Lord, but he thought it would come out a different way. And so Jesus sends back the word and says, telling this, the blind are receiving sight, the deaf are hearing, and John the Baptist would have known Isaiah and known, oh yeah, you're doing the stuff, you're doing the stuff. But then tags on this last verse in verse 6, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. I want you to know, Jesus says, here's the resume. My resume is this. It's the resume of a Messiah. It's the resume of what prophetically had been said. Here's what I'm doing. I remind you, John the Baptist, but here's a warning that I have. Blessed is the one who's not offended, who does not fall away on account of me and my ways. Often, we all say and would say we love the Lord, but we struggle with His ways. We love the Lord and we believe great things about the Lord and all that He can do, but we struggle with the tension of going through this life and hurting and paining. And that's the deal in this life. And every one of you have been touched by it. I know it's a unanimous deal. We've all been touched by pain, suffering, loss at some level. The Bible makes it very clear that we'll suffer for His name. There is suffering for Christ, for His glory, for His name, yes. But the Scriptures also make it very clear that we're going to suffer just for being here on this place, on this planet. We're going to suffer because our bodies are wasting away. We're going to suffer in this age because of other human beings who are going to make decisions. Governments will make decisions that affect us. And we will sometimes be blessed by their decisions, and sometimes we're going to suffer. You're going to suffer because of the consequences of other people because we do not have the full reign of Jesus Christ, the rightful King, on the planet yet. We've got problems. We've got manifestations of flesh. We're aching. We get rejection. You're sitting all here probably with consequences even of your own problems, your own mistakes. You said things you wish you could take back. You made decisions in relationships you wish you could go back, but you can't, and you're living with that. You've got financial problems that have happened because you've made mistakes. We've got trouble all over the place, and I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy. I just want to be, let's talk reality. This age is going to be full of hardship. It's going to be full of trial. Those that are telling you that it will not are disagreeing with the Lord Jesus, who said, you will have trouble in this world. You're going to have it. But I want you to be of good cheer because I've overcome it. I've overcome the world. I've come over the top of all this stuff, and I can help you through it. But be assured of this, you will have trouble. Paul said in another place, if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Persecution and trouble are going to happen, and they're touching all of our lives. We got to figure out how to live with this. Most of the stuff that's dealing with people, you know, you're dealing with unbelief, you're struggling with things in your life, are because of these trials. It's because of these disappointments. It's because of your failures or other people's failures around you, and just hard, hard stuff. It's hard living on planet Earth with imperfect people. Has anybody noticed that, by the way? Imperfect shepherds, my gosh, look at me. You know what I mean? You say the wrong thing and you try to do the best thing, and we're all trying to be as sincere as we can, but then we're also selfish and we're trying to live for ourselves. We get persecution because we go after Christ. We get persecution because we decide to do certain things with our family. We get all kinds of trouble and trial. James would write in James 1:2, which is such a great verse, count it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of all kinds. I think the umbrella is huge. Yeah, suffering for Jesus. Yeah, suffering because of the consequences of other people around me. And yeah, suffering because of the consequences of what we do. All of those can be wrapped within how God wants to walk with you. If you don't get a good doctrine of suffering, you're going to end up being a bitter person that is maybe not vocally, but non-vocally, non-verbally, you've got some stuff against the Lord. You're like, why is he not coming through? These people keep treating me this way. I keep not having enough money. It may not be a verbal thing, and some of you will say it out verbally, but there's a non-verbal argument, an offense within our hearts against the Lord because of the way things are happening to us. You know, I'll tell you this, and I just want to be honest. I think some of that's happening because we've had a foretaste of glory divine. It's wonderful that the Holy Spirit's been given to us, but you know what? It's ruined me. We were praying this morning. Thank you for the presence of the Spirit in me. I've touched it. It's been wonderful, and it's ruined me for life. Because now I crave the age to come. I crave when there's no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more devil. Anybody else crave that age? There's something in me that says, that's what's right. This is not right, right here. I crave the age when young ones are not raped and pillaged. I crave the age when people don't starve to death and there's selfishness on the planet. I crave the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ back on the planet, and it will be good. And I have tasted it in my spirit, and I have not given up. I'm not like, oh, this is the way it ought to be. It makes me more and more miserable with this age. I think that's normal Christianity. But you got to figure out how to steward it, because we ain't there yet. The Pharisees majorly struggled with Jesus because they wanted his second coming. They couldn't hardly receive his first coming because they wanted the benefits of the second coming. They were longing for the plethora of passages. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands, of verses that were promising that a king would come on Zion and set the earth right. They were longing for it, but they did not. They missed that he would come that first time and he would die as a suffering servant. He would take the pain and all this stuff. He'd let it come on him. He'd consume it. He'd die, and with resurrection power, he would overcome it. And that there would be an age right now, which we're in, we're 2,000 years into this deal, since the first coming of the Lord Jesus, where the victory is won. We're still in this age of the give and the take, of the dark and the light. We got to figure out how to live here. We got to figure out how to get our hearts around this, because I do believe that we do struggle with some bitterness. We struggle with some unbelief. We struggle with some fear. And I believe the enemy eats our lunch, because we get into shame and we get into all kinds of funky places because we're wounded people. We got to develop a doctrine, a good Bible doctrine of suffering. Love the doctrine of salvation. Love the doctrine of sanctification. Love the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But I tell you, in your Bible, New Testament, one of the main themes is this issue about suffering. How do you endure hardship? How do you process it? How do you think through it? Because I tell you, everything in your brain says, I shouldn't hurt like this. People shouldn't hurt like this. And it's because we know a day is coming where it will not happen. We know it shouldn't be, but I'm telling you, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And in the not there yet, we've got to have some kind of equipment to steward this life that we're in and the pain that we're in. No one can give us a better theology of this, I believe, than Paul from the Scripture. Paul is an interesting guy. Paul's destiny in ministry was wrapped around suffering. Listen to what the Lord says to Ananias about him. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he said. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas of Straight Street. Saul's there praying. Go to him. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come, place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias replied, I've heard about Saul. He's the guy who beats us up and arrests us and takes us bad places. And he's come here in the authority of the chief priest to arrest us and all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, their kings, and before the people of Israel. That's mind-blowing enough. I'm going to take the hater of the church, and I'm going to turn him in to the one that will testify to the Gentiles, to kings, and all that. But it doesn't end there. Verse 16 is part of Saul's commission, Paul's commission. I will show him, the Lord says about Paul, I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Wouldn't you love that to be part of your commission? You're going to take it. I'm going to put you on platforms. You're going to preach. You're going to heal. You're going to whatever. I'm like, yes. But then the Lord says at the end of that deal, this is words from the mouth of God. I'm going to show Saul how much he must suffer for my name. It was in his destiny of ministry. Paul's experience in ministry. Colossians 2:1-24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, believers in Colossae. I fill up in my flesh what's still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is his church. And oh, the list, and we're going to get there, of afflictions that Paul was going through. He says, I rejoice, and I'm finishing off, as the body of Christ, I'm finishing off the suffering of Jesus. You see, the suffering of Jesus was not done on that cross. It continues for the church age until the very end. It'll continue until the last martyr falls in the last days, and we change the age. Jesus is still bearing afflictions, and it's through you, and it's through I. Paul's boast in ministry, 2 Corinthians 11:30, says, if I must boast, if I'm going to brag, if I'm going to read my resume, if I'm going to proclaim it to everybody and tell you what's proof of my apostleship, I'm going to boast of the things that show my weakness. There's a different guy. We're all reading our resumes and all the good things we've done. This is a guy that had something shift in him. Paul is a great source for us to understand about suffering. We may not be called to the same destiny, experience, or the boast of Paul. But there are reasons that every believer must develop a solid apostolic doctrine of suffering. I get it that you may not be Paul. I get it that you may, okay? But I'm telling you this, generally, every believer, there are reasons why we've got to develop this doctrine of suffering. Number one, so that we may sustain praise in the middle of a raging, hurting, painful war. Philippians 4:4. Paul writes, from prison, in chains, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. I was going to come up with a couple stories. I'm not going to do it because it was going to be too cheesy. But I want to read you two bios on two people. I want to read you one that's a silver spoon story. Somebody born rich, everything goes great. They have a great business. They do great. They travel. They do vacation. Wonderful. Everything's great. They die peacefully. Or someone born in trouble, born in persecution, goes through trial, has this failure, has that, overcomes by faith and goes forward. And I wanted to read them for you and see which one responded to you would respond to. But I know the story. You know what inspires. I like it when things go good with people. I like it when I hear about somebody that's just, oh man, they're blessed, all the thing they do. But I'm telling you, that doesn't touch me like it touches me when I find someone that's got all kinds of obstacles in their life and they break through by faith. They break through by faith. Is anybody with me? I mean, it's kind of nice to hear about somebody that everything's gone good. You just really don't totally believe the story all the time, and it doesn't inspire you. What inspires us and moves us is when someone overcomes. They overcome through trial. Paul is doing that. I'm here in prison. I know you're languishing about this. Philippians chapter 1 is at the beginning. He says, I'm in chains, but I'm telling you, my chains have actually served to advance the gospel. I'm not in trouble. I'm rejoicing. I rejoice. The whole book is one explosion of rejoicing by a guy who's in a prison, maybe rats around and chains and maybe not being treated that great. He's rejoicing in the Lord. You and I have to get a doctrine of suffering so we sustain praise all the way through, not only the mountaintops, but especially during the valleys. This is what impresses unbelievers, I'm telling you. This is what brings glory to God. It's when we can praise when we go through the valley. It's when we can, I don't think they all go, ooh, I want your Jesus just because you're rich and you're da-da-da. I think they look at us and stand in awe when we go through trial and we still praise. We go through all kinds of tribulation and we're still giving glory to our God. We need a doctrine of suffering so that we can sustain rejoicing praise in the middle of trial. Number two, so that we may receive the well, the gift to believers to suffer. Listen to this verse. This ought to be a life verse for you. I doubt this is on anybody's refrigerator. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you, gifted to you. You've graciously been given is what it says, to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. It's been gifted to you to believe upon Jesus, yes, but it's also been granted to you to suffer for Him. You have got a gift. He's given a gift to us. We've been given the grace to suffer on behalf of Jesus. And we've got to be able to receive that gift instead of rejecting it all the time. We've got to be in a place where we can receive that suffering so that He builds testimony, and that's going to take us having a doctrine of suffering. Three, so that we do not become offended at the Lord when things do not go well with us. And I gave you that passage, Matthew 11:1-6. Powerful testimony. I'm telling you, we've got to get ourselves Bible thinking and not American dream thinking, not health and wealth gospel thing. We've got to get our minds Bible thinking, because if you don't, you're going to get offended at the Lord. You're going to have delay in your life. You're going to have pain. You're going to have trial. You're going to have suffering. I promise you, resurrection Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, will help you get through every one of them. I can guarantee it. You will get through. You will go through. And even if the last trial for you is death, which it probably will be, you win. You win because you'll be resurrected. Am I excited about being resurrected? Even death cannot keep me down. I win. But just because I win doesn't mean I'm not going to be slapped around a little bit on the way. That I'm going to have some pains, I'm going to have some hurts, but I always, always break through. I've got to have this system of thinking. I've got to have this, or I'm telling you, you're going to get offended at God. I've met multiple people that are so frustrated with the Lord. I prayed 3 to 4 to 100 times for this. It never came. And they feel like the delay and the pain and all that, the enemy comes in and says, he's not faithful. He's not faithful. You hear that voice that says, the Lord is not faithful. He's going to fail you. And you've got to be able to battle that. You've got to arm yourself to battle that lie. And that's why we want to give this to you. Four, lastly, so that we may endure and overcome in these end times. And I tell you, good Bible tells us, everybody listen to me, good Bible tells you that you are in the end times. It's been the last days in the end times since the Spirit fell and since the apostles proclaimed it. You're in the end, everyone. You're in the end times, and things are about to accelerate really fast. They can accelerate really, really fast at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Your Bible says that you should be ready for this. And if you don't, something can happen. Look at Matthew 24:9-10. In Jesus' prophecy, the great prophecy of the end times, Matthew 24. Then you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. And here's the woe verse, verse 10. At that time, at the time when you're being persecuted, at that time when you're being handed over because of me, at that time, many are going to turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Jesus prophesies by the spirit of prophecy on him, looks down the ages to the end of time and says, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be an increase of turning over. You're going to be under the heat for my name. It's going to come. It's going to be hot. And many, I bet he just hated to say it. Many are going to turn away from me at that point. Many are going to be offended by me, I think is what he's saying. They're just going to be, they're going to turn away and they're going to hate each other, the body of Christ. If we don't get ourselves ready right now for the little warm-up troubles we're having, and I don't mean to belittle anybody's trouble. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to do that. But you think you've seen trouble. The birth pains are about to increase, everybody. They're about to increase. That's good Bible. When they come, I want to be found faithful. How about you? I want to say, I'm standing to the end. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Ouch, it hurts, but I'm in. Ouch, it hurts, but I'm in. That's what we do. We'll have the ouch and the amen all together. And I think that's good. That's the Bible. That's what we should do. But we got to be prepared. I tell you what, this last week, my heating system went down. It was a warm week. Wasn't this a nice week? But it got down to the 40s one night. My system was down. In my house, listen to how bad I suffered. It got down to 65 degrees one night. I'm in bed, 3:34 in the morning. patient's just being diagnosed. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're all going to, I'm exaggerating to make a point, but I kind of was doing this. We're going to die. How am I going to, I got to get heat going. I'm around the house. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm down in the thing, sticking my hand in the fan of the furnace, ripped up. I got Band-Aids all over me. I'm just trying to get heat going because, you know, from 4 to 8 in the morning, it's going to go to, I'm sure, freezing, and we'll all, you know, they'll find us in there, bodies frozen. I woke up the next day and went, I don't think I'm kind of prepared yet for what's coming down the pike. I got a little bit of growing to do. 65 degrees makes me irritable. Something's got to shift inside me. Something's got to shift endurance. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad because I'm telling you, I've lived a life of pleasure. I'm one of the rich on the planet. My whole life's been about pleasure, 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 heat, 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 good, good. I can set my temperature where I want. I got indoor plumbing. It's wonderful. I'm thankful. But it doesn't really prepare me well for when I don't have heat and when people don't like me and people take things from me. I don't do well with that. I like it when people give stuff to me. My heart was like, oh my. I told Amy, I got some preparing to do. The Lord's got to shift and change in me. And so we want to focus on the Bible. Let me do this here. I want to lay out 4 core values in Paul's doctrine of suffering. 4 core values out of the book of 2 Corinthians. Okay? And I want you to go on a journey with me. We're not going to fix this here today. We've got a way to go. But listen, let this word sow into you. Help get yourself an apostolic doctrine of suffering. And let's all get better together, okay? And get ourselves ready because stuff is coming down the pike. And I want to be with you. And I want us to stand in faith and to stay faithful to the end. And that's our heart. Number one, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul lays out this passage. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. It was hard. So we despaired even of life, Paul says. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. The number one thing is, I believe, value in Paul's doctrine of suffering is the sovereign purpose of suffering is to free us from slavery to self-reliance unto liberty into the faith of God. I believe, as he says this sentence, I love this. He says, I want you guys to know it got really, really hard. It was so hard, and I don't feel like I'm a wimp, I think Paul would say. It was so hard over there, I despaired of life. I was like, I'm going to die. But then he endures through that by the Spirit of Christ, and he says this. Listen to this purpose statement. This happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Isn't that a great interpretation of suffering? Listen. Your stuff happening to you, I'm not saying it doesn't come. It may come from the devil, come from bad people, come from whatever. But you and I do not have to live on just it's sourced from some bad source. You and I can rise above our struggle and go, God overarching actually is training me in the midst of this trial. This thing will liberate my white-knuckled hold on self-reliance. It'll liberate me to where I can begin to trust in God. Paul comes out of that situation, which, by the way, probably meant that he was starving to death, nearly beat to death, and he had everybody and a bunch of people rejecting him. That's usually what was happening to Paul. It was bad stuff, real bad stuff. It wasn't 65 degrees in the house, you know? It's bad. And he comes out of that, and the wisdom of God comes into his spirit, and he says, I know why this happened. I know why omnipotent God, who can change everything, didn't come with power totally and deliver me. In the middle of it, I got in the cooker, and it revealed that I am really a self-reliant guy. And what I can do is when I got to the end of, it's impossible, I can't fix this, then I begin to believe. I begin to believe. That's why all these testimonies are so great that you hear. Most every great testimony in the body of Christ is when people hit the wall, they got no more power, and they need God to help them. You and I can't hardly believe. We really do have a hard time believing if we've still got power in ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? When you still have resource, we believe best when we don't have any more hope. We believe best, and that's a good process of when you have trial to go, I'm going to process this as this. It's a training ground for me. I'm in this training ground, and I'm going to learn to believe. I'm going to learn to believe. In fact, what I'm going to do in the midst, I'm going to thank the Lord. Lord, I can't get out of this. Ah, it hurts. And then I'm going to begin to go. I'm not going to go to bitter. I'm going to go to praise and say, Lord, thank you, thank you. Teach me how to believe for you. Teach me how to believe upon you and to draw a resource to endure. If you all understand principle number one, say amen. Don't waste your trial. Don't waste your trial. It's a classroom. Some of you may be at elementary school, some at high school, some in, you know, undergraduate or higher or whatever, graduate doctorate level, but you're in a class if you're in trial. And yeah, the enemy's doing stuff. We want to get him off of us and we want to break through, but I'm telling you, don't waste it. Don't waste it. It's a great opportunity for you to learn to believe. Number one, sovereignly, God is teaching us how to believe. Number two, the hard struggle of suffering is to show the source of true power, which is God, not self. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10, great passage. Paul says, but we have this treasure. I got this treasure of the glory of the gospel, the presence of the Spirit inside in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Here's the great mantra. We're hard-pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, confused, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. My God hasn't left me. I'm struck down, yes, but I'm not destroyed. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I tell you, one of the great purposes, again, that's linked to that first one about your suffering, the places where you are struck down, but not, okay? You're perplexed. It's okay to be perplexed. Be human. Go, why? You can do that. But you don't go to despair, right? You can go, I'm afflicted, but we don't go to, I'm abandoned. We stay right in that place, and in the midst of this jar of clay that we live in these weak situations with the glory of God, it shows, it exposes that the true power is from God and not from ourselves. Number three, worldly boasting focuses on achievements, but spiritual boasting focuses on weaknesses and suffering. 2 Corinthians 11, 16, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. 17, in this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many, look at verse 18, many are boasting in the way that the world does. And Paul sarcastically says, I'm going to boast like this a little while. And he gives us a little bit of a resume. I'm a Hebrew and I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees. But look what he calls it in 18. There's a boasting according to the way the world does. And by the way, he's talking about ministers, false ministers, super apostles, he calls them. He says, they're boasting the way the world does. You know what they're boasting about? Look all I've done. Look how I talk. Look how I... It's all about achievement and pride. Verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I'm more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night, a day, and day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. 28. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure and concern for all the churches. Who's weak and I don't feel it? Who's led into sin and I'm not inwardly burning? 30, what we read before. If I must boast, I'm going to boast about the things that show my weaknesses. Spiritual apostolic boasting is a boasting in the weaknesses of what we are, what we have, the sufferings that we're in. We boast about not just that I'm in them, but I boast that God sustains me through them. Not me. Look at Sam. He wrote this many booklets. He went to this many countries. You know what I mean? We gotta shift what we boast about. And if you, Paul does this thing, and I want to get to this fourth point in chapter 12 because it shifts him emotionally what he finds joy in. Verse number 4. The Lord's sufficient grace is received and power is perfected in the midst of weakness. He knew this. From heaven, he knew it. I know what happens in suffering. I get grace sufficiently and I get power perfected, the perfected power of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations given to me at my third heaven trip, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded to the Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My power is perfected. What a phrase. Does anybody think about that phrase? I mean, I would just assume that the Lord's power is perfected. That word is matured, completed in your experience. This is where people really touch my power. They really touch my power in the context of weakness and struggle. The Lord says to him from heaven, it's in red in your Bibles, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast, brag all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And listen to a lunatic in verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Anybody see what's going on there? A word from heaven comes. He's had this experience, and he gets this from Jesus. Sufficiency of grace will always come and get you through it. And by the way, I'm going to mature, fulfill power. You're going to get power and experience power like you've never had it before in the context of weakness. If that's true, I think Paul says, and it is true, I think he found it to be true, then I'm going to boast. I'm going to boast of these weaknesses. I'm going to be glad when there's, listen to all the things that are there, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. I'm not going to whine. I'm moving from, why God? I'm moving to, thank you, Lord. Right now, I'm in a place where I need your sufficient grace. Right now, you've put me in a place where I need a miracle. I need the perfection of power. That's a shift. And I believe he's being honest. Emotionally, he says, I delight. I find joy in now. I'm delighting in these situations. Bring them. And I think that's what happened. We see this thing happen with Stephen. Remember when Stephen's being stoned in Acts chapter 7, 8, right in there? He's being stoned. What's happening with Stephen? Is he complaining? Stephen's like, he's having visions of heaven. He looks into heaven and sees the one who sat at the right hand of majesty stand up to watch the martyrdom. That's what he sees. I see the Lord standing at the right hand of majesty. Boom, vision. Then here they go. They pummel him. His face is like an angel when he's talking. He's under the heat. Angel face, shining, seeing open visions of heaven. And then when they're killing him to death, what's he say? Lord, he's extending mercy. Forgive them. It's the last stones. Pummel him. Forgive him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He releases what Jesus did from the cross. Power. Many believe that Saul, standing there holding the coats, was just stunned. Are you kidding me? This guy dies like that? And we've said it often. We want you to, live for the Lord and also die for the Lord. You want to be able to be in that place where you lay hold of his grace. I believe that Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, when he was being beat to death, I don't know how a human being lives through that. It's not like he's got a lot of hydrogen peroxide and Band-Aids that he's putting on all that stuff. Most of the time after he's beaten with rods and whips and probably bleeding with an open flesh back, he's stuck in an unsanitary prison. He needed the supernatural power of God to even live. That's what he did. I don't live. I think, by the way, that Paul, in the middle of those beatings, was doing more than gritting his teeth. I think he's fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I think he's having power. I think it hurts. I think it's hurting big time. His nerves are still working. His brain is saying, this hurts, don't do that. But I think his spirit, man, is so buoyed in the Lord that he's having experiences in Christ that are powerful. Many of you may not be beat like that. But some of you are being beaten by finances. You're being beaten by relationships. You're being beaten. And I'm telling you this, you don't have to grit your teeth and wait till it's over to be with the Lord. You actually can find the Lord in the midst of that as strong as anywhere you've ever been. If you understand what I said, please say amen. I'm telling you, you've been given a great opportunity. In the end, it's resurrection. We're all together again. Right now, it hurts. And in the context of the hurting, here's the power. Here's the promise. I can help you. I know you ache. You miss that person. But I got you in a class, and I can squeeze the self-reliance out of you, and I can meet you. And I know it hurts, but I'm faithful. And when it all gets done, and I finish it all up, you're going to go, oh, it was worth it. It was worth it for me to wait for just a few minutes to get to full glory. And I'm restored with everyone that I had lost. I tell you, we need a doctrine of suffering. We need a people who can come to the place where I boast in my weaknesses. I consider it pure joy when I go through trial. I delight in insults and hardships. You give us an army of people like that, and then we can just say, bring it. Bring it. Bring it on. We're ready. We're ready. Now, I don't want you to be a sadist saying, hit me. You know what I mean? I'm not some freak. I like not having pain. You know, I don't like my fingers hurting. But I'm telling you, what he's looking for is a people. Yeah, I'm glad people can quote Bible verses. And I'm glad you can maybe rebuke spirits and do that. I'm not belittling that. But my, where are the people who go through trial and they keep praising? Where are the people that go through trial and they go, oh, he's training me? Where are the people that have perfection of power in the midst of that stuff? Because I tell you, the whole earth is going to be engulfed. It is. We want to prepare you. It's going to be engulfed with some trial. And it's going to be worth it for you to stand to the end. I do not want to be among the company that fall away and hate my brethren during that time. I want to be standing. Me and Steve Henderson, locked arms. Yes, yes, ouch, it hurts. But yes, King Jesus, come. We're going to make it through. Yeah, that end time persecution. But I tell you what, you're getting those trainings right now. Every one of you going through some hard stuff. And it's line upon line, piece upon piece. You're in a class. You can go to the next level, but we must pass the test right now. If anybody's had any trial touch your life in the last month to year, would you say, oh my? There you are. Everybody, I want you to pass the test. I want you to be fake. I don't want anybody in here to go, it didn't hurt, it was awesome. Don't be a liar. It hurts. I didn't like it. I was confused. I was perplexed. But man, we press in and we say the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And he will not abandon me. And we praise and we learn and we break through and we believe in the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word of God. Praise you that you're training us to be a people who overcome. Holy Spirit, would you do a deep work of breaking our addictions to pleasure, our addictions to self-reliance? Would you do a deep, deep, deep work in us? Start with me. When we see sovereign purpose in suffering, may we know that it shows the power of God. I pray that we would not be offended at all by delay and by things that happen that are trial. I pray that we'd be a people who actually can delight and boast in weakness where we have perfected and matured power. Lord, we honor you. We bless you. And we want to move from being a people who complain to a people who praise. Yes, hurting and being real, but Lord, praising you, help us. I pray for grace and strength for everyone in the room right now. Holy Spirit power to go through the ouch that is their life, to go through the pain and the regret and the shame. Lord, help them be able to turn that over to you. Meet them in the midst of this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.